Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. It's Palm Sunday, the day in which we remember Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey while crowds of people gathered and cheered and put palm branches down in front of him. They celebrated his arrival, and yet not long after they called for him to be crucified. So we're going to continue in our series in our Lent journey as we look at the events or the words of Jesus on the cross. And this week we're thinking about the words that Jesus spoke as recorded in Luke when he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," as he gave up his last breath. So what do we understand in these words that will help us to think more about our lives, about our faith, and about the way that we interact with God and with each other? Well, in these words, we see Jesus offering an invitation to trust. So let's read the passage, Luke 23, verses 44 to 49. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now I'm also going to read the first few verses from Psalm 31, and we'll see why in a moment. But I'm not going to read the whole thing, because it's quite a long psalm, but I would recommend you take time to read it in your own time. "In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God." So, as we look at these words, what do we see in these words? So firstly, we see in these words the total trust that Jesus has in his Father. As he dies, Jesus says the words, "Father, into your hand I commit my spirit," which is a quote from that psalm, Psalm 31. A psalm that is a beautiful song of trust in God. And the psalmist talked about God as being his rock, his fortress, his refuge. This psalm was often used in Jewish evening prayers as someone commended themselves into God's care during the night. So it's apparent that in saying these words, Jesus wasn't just glibly offering up some vain hope that he would be safe in his Father's hand. No, this was said with a sense of deep assurance and certainty that the Father could and would deliver him. As Jesus entered the sleep of death, he was entrusting himself to God's care and protection. It's a powerful statement of trust in God, especially considering the statement that we looked at last week in which Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And so it's really important to note this. Even in the depths of Jesus's distress, even when Jesus was feeling abandoned by God, he was still able to trust in God. He still put his fate into God's hands and rested in the knowledge of God's love, mercy, power and compassion. His cry had turned from lament and pain at the abandonment he felt to victory and trust in the powerful and holy God. When we are in times of difficulty and distress, it can be easy to feel abandoned by God and to want to cry out like Jesus did. But notice that although Jesus felt God's absence, he never stopped trusting in him. When we feel far away from God, it is important to cling to God even more desperately. If our emotions are making it difficult to recognize God, then we need to rely on our knowledge of him to get us through. We trust in what we know of God's character, of what he has done throughout the history of the world, and through our own experience of God's presence and compassion in our lives. When we are able to remember God's faithfulness in times of distress, then we are able to echo Jesus' words and put our fate into God's hands rather than our own. The way in which we respond to times of crisis and our trust in God through them can be an amazing witness to others. For example, when we look at the stories of those who have died for their faith, the decision to stay true to Christ and face death rather than renounce him and live speaks strongly of a person's conviction of the truth of the gospel. And this can have a powerful impact on others, even on those who are persecuting Christians. When we look at Jesus' commitment to God, even as he suffered and died on the cross, we can see that it had an impact on one of his executioners. The centurion would have witnessed countless crucifixions. It would have been commonplace. And yet, after witnessing Jesus' death, he says, "Surely this was a righteous man." In Mark's gospel, the centurion is recorded as saying, "Surely this man was the Son of God." The impact that Jesus' faith in God the Father and his trust, even though he was clearly suffering, had an impact on the centurion, pointing him to understand who Jesus really was. Jesus' trust and commitment to God in his suffering even had an impact on the crowds watching the crucifixion. We are told, when all the people who had gathered to witness the sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. Now, we're not told what they might have been thinking or experiencing. We're not told why they beat their chests. But the act of beating one's chest was a sign of distress and sorrow, or could even be a symbol of contrition and humility. As such, clearly something about what they witnessed caused them to feel distress and sorrow. Perhaps watching the way in which Jesus suffered and yet stayed committed to God caused them to pause and consider the meaning of events. Perhaps they were beginning to realise, as the centurion did, that a righteous and innocent man had been crucified. They may even have feared that God's judgment was about to rest upon them for being part of the crowd watching the crucifixion of Jesus. Whatever it was they were thinking and feeling, these people clearly felt an impact after watching Jesus' crucifixion and the continual trust he had in God right up to his last breath. So how might the way that you encounter and cope with difficult times demonstrate your faith and trust in God? Are you able to remember, believe, and rely on the presence of God, his sovereignty and power, his control and his might, his love and his mercy? When we are able to demonstrate our faith and trust in God, even through though times are difficult, people will notice and want to know where your confidence and strength comes from. So, as we look at Jesus on the cross and hear him saying those words, we see that trust that Jesus had in God, even in those moments of difficulty. Secondly, when we look at Jesus' words, we see a glimpse of the intimacy Jesus has with the Father. Jesus' trust in the Father comes from knowledge and intimacy with his Father. When we truly know someone, we can learn to trust them because of our knowledge of them. It could be argued that it is only possible to truly trust someone with everything if you know that person intimately. And Jesus certainly had the most intimate relationship ever to exist with the other members of the Trinity. And that intimate relationship enabled total trust between the three persons of the Trinity. And so it's always inspiring and awesome to see glimpses of that intimacy on display. But even more inspiring is that we are also invited to have this intimacy with God. Luke records that the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Luke was referring to the curtain that separated the holy place from the inner most holy of holies. The tearing of this curtain is significant as the curtain separating the holy and holies, which was known to be the earthly dwelling place for God's presence. It was separating that from the rest of the temple where humanity was allowed to go. This therefore demonstrated the separation of God and humanity by our sinfulness. Only the high priest could enter this place, and only then could he enter it once a year to make atonement for all Israel. And so the tearing of this curtain demonstrates that the separation of God and humanity has been ended once and for all by Jesus. No longer is there a barrier that separates us from God. Through Christ, we are able to come to God, to enjoy an intimate, personal, loving relationship with him. We no longer need a human high priest to go to God on our behalf. We are not just able to, but we are actively welcomed and invited to experience intimacy with God. This is amazing news for us, but it would have been shocking and astonishing news to those living at the time of Jesus. They were used to the understanding that direct access to God was forbidden except for the high priest, and only when he had done the relevant purification rituals. And so the idea that anyone and everyone could now come before the living God and have a personal relationship with him would have been absolutely baffling for the Jews. And the notion that this personal relationship was open not just to them, but to all people, to the Gentiles and pagans as well, that would have been verging on heresy for a lot of Jewish people. And yet, this is what Jesus' sacrifice enabled. He opened the way for anyone and everyone to come before God, whether they are Jew or Gentile, man or woman, slave or free, as it says in Galatians 3:28. We are all made one in Christ and are all welcome to be part of the intimacy of the Trinity. We are fully welcomed into God's family as beloved children and heirs, and that means God desires an intimate, personal, deep, close relationship with us. Thirdly, Jesus' words demonstrate to us the hope of life after death, of there being more than just this life. The words Jesus says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," are part of a verse from Psalm 31. But the whole verse that Jesus quotes from says this, "Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God." As such, there's this sense of deliverance inherent in Jesus' words. Now, he was clearly dying on the cross, and though he could have rescued himself and come down from the cross, he didn't. So the only deliverance that Jesus could have been seeking from God is after death, resurrection, which we know is exactly what happened. When Jesus died, he was battling death for our sakes and coming out victorious. And so when David writes in his psalm, "But I trust in you, Lord, I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me." Well, this seems to echo for Jesus as well. He was being delivered from death by God the Father and taken from Satan's hands as Jesus conquered over the forces of evil and death. And all this means that we can have hope, because God did indeed deliver Jesus. Through Jesus' death, and more significantly through his resurrection, God has proved his power over even death, and so we know that this life is not all there is. God has shown us that there is indeed life after death, and we do not need to fear that moment of death, because by believing in Jesus, we are rescued from the punishment we deserve and are instead given eternal life with him. We can trust in the hope that Jesus offers because we know that God is faithful and will deliver us just as he delivered Jesus. When we trust in Jesus, we recognise that our times are in God's hands, and so we need to rely on him fully because he is in control. We know that we can have hope because he is truly faithful to every promise he makes to us. We can have hope because there is nothing that we need to fear, nothing that can truly do any permanent or eternal damage, because Jesus has rescued us from that fate. As he said in Matthew 10, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." And through Jesus, we can trust in God, have intimacy with him, and through that intimacy and trust, we have hope that we never have to fear that God will destroy us, because Jesus has saved us. And then finally, we see in Jesus' words inspiration to trust fully in God, to recognise that no matter what we face, he is with us, he is watching over us, and he is in control. We can see in Jesus the example that even in the midst of brutal death, God can still be trusted. This once again causes me to think of those who have suffered death because of their faith in Christ. This confidence that these people have in Jesus and in God's power to save, even after death, is so powerful. Seeing Jesus on the cross gives us the inspiration to have that kind of faith that survives even in the threat of death. I've never really been in a situation where I've had to trust God to deliver me from life-threatening situations, but I have had numerous situations where I've had to learn to trust God deeply. Recognising that Jesus also had to trust God and commit his spirit into God's hands helps to inspire me to continue trusting God even when everything seems bleak and hopeless. What situations do you find yourself in that require you to trust in God even more than usual? How might looking to Jesus during those last moments on the cross inspire you to greater trust in our loving, powerful, awesome God? And so Jesus' words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," invite us to consider how much we truly trust God and how we might deepen our faith and trust in him through developing greater intimacy with God, through trusting in the hope that we receive from God, and from taking inspiration from the trust that Jesus had in his Father. How are you trusting God for all you need this week? How can you deepen your trust in him as you go through your life day by day?